Okay, you're there. Testing, yep. Testing.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
You're nice and loud, Des. Wow.
Thank you very much. I feel like pressing play on my tape. It's episode 12 of the Press Play on Tape podcast. Wow, that was horrible, Alex, wasn't that? That was really bad.
Des, did you actually discuss this with me before you
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
I truly am sorry.
Dude, this is a democracy, mate. you just don't do shit on, you know...
Just that random, yeah.
Yeah, you're random and arbitrary bullshit. No. That was cool. That was cool. I loved it. All we need now is that, that press play on tape sound when you press an old key.
That click. Okay, give me a second. Let me see if I can reach. Oh, no, I don't think it's going to reach, but can you hear this?
Oh, yes.
You heard it?
Yes.
There you go. That was on my C64.
Woohoo!
But anyway, let's not go off topic so quickly.
I know.
So yes, it's Daz here, and my co-host and brother is Mr. Alex Boz. How are you today, sir?
I am great, Daz. It's great to be on this fantastic podcast once again. And I love hearing your voice, man. That microphone you've got is just pure gold. I love it. Talk to me, Daz. Talk to me.
Hey, what do you think this is bouncing on it?
dude, let's get the track. Oh, dear God.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's hypersensitive. well, yes, anyway, it's episode 12, and the title for today's episode is Getting to Know You. So, yes. This will be our first episode in a few episodes. You could say it could be a new series of episodes, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, a new feature is always a good feature.
That's right. So it's getting to know you. So we will get some people from the vintage game community, and get them to jump on the podcast and talk about themselves and what they're interested in and what got them into gaming or vintage computing, because we really appreciate, everyone that listens in. We think, we want to hear you guys. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear what you guys have to say.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so that was the Press Play and Tape podcast, and we'll see you next month. No. Today, we have a guest from our community, from the retro community. He's in every community. Twitter community, the RD community, the Oz Retro Gaming community, the Australia community, every community, everywhere. It is Mr. Would you like to introduce him, Alex? Because I think I've spoken too much.
I was going to say Blah Jedi, also known as Aaron C. Clement. Welcome to the show, Mr. Tasmanian Jedi.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks, Daz. Nice to be on. That's what we're supposed to say, isn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for this, and thank you. No, it's good to be on, guys. I appreciate the invite.
You're welcome. Yeah, we thought. Yeah, like I was saying, I thought, we want to hear what the community has to say and what they love.
Yeah, and I think the first person we thought of straight away was Aaron, wasn't it?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, we just went, yep, I remember, Daz, you just came with the idea, and I said, I reckon Blood Jedi, bang, done.
Exactly. And especially when, you are coming to PAX this year, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, look, I'll make sure I'll bring a stepladder so I can give you a big hug. because he did something really nice for me. And I now have an Atari Zegs.
Just call it an XE gaming system.
Yes, exactly.
It's all right.
I fell in love with it, and coincidentally, Alex let me know that Aaron had one for sale, and now sitting proudly on my TV unit.
Now, this is the power of community, isn't it?
Exactly.
Aaron found out that you were after an XC. He contacted me, I contacted you, and I think within a day or two, it was all done.
Exactly.
How awesome is that, man? Mm. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right, one more piece of kit out of Tassie, which I'm not sure is a good thing or not, but there seems to be a lot of it down here, as I've discovered. So.
Oh, wow.
We might get into that later on, but yeah. I reckon enough of us talking about crap, Daz, and yeah. I reckon we allow our special guest to tell us a bit about himself and what he's into and favorite systems, games, whatever you want to tell us. Aaron, go for it, dude.
It's time for the interrogation.
Oh yeah.
Mm. I'm sweating.
Yeah. Let's start. Let's start from the start, mate. How you actually got into gaming? Tell us about yourself first, and how you got into gaming.
I've been Commodore boy for pretty much as long as I can remember. So yeah, we moved to Canberra when Dad was in the army. So we got posted down there at some point around 84. They took us. We went out to Fishwick one day to a computer store. Don't know who it was, but all I remember was the store was full of Commodores, and it was just all running international soccer, and Ghostbusters was actually out at the time, which was something that blew my mind when you sort of the speech and all the stuff going on. So end result was we ended up bringing home a Commodore, the VIC-20, which needless to say was a little disappointing, I vaguely recall, but all I know was at some point in a day or two after that, the VIC disappeared, and my dad bought back the C64 family pack.
Oh, nice.
So, and then the store had actually also promised they'd give us a call when they got a copy of Ghostbusters in, because they'd sold out completely. Needless to say, to this day, I still don't own a copy of Ghostbusters on the Commodore 64.
Oh, that's a shame.
Bastards!
the movie was... It was out about that time as well. It was around 84, 85. So yeah, it was pretty massive, but we got that, and that was the family pack that had the programming guides, the Bo Vista, a Bo Jolly game pack with like Pedro and stuff like that in it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember early on playing lots of that with that Impossible Mission, Lemonade Stand, funnily enough as well, which was seemed to be a family favourite. But playing a lot of that, taking advantage of the fact that tapes took a while to load to sort of dodge out, play games, go outside, do stuff, but then come back in. So sort of skip forward from that. We got a tape drive, a disc drive, a couple of years later, and get into sort of with friends in the neighborhood, sharing games as you do, not that you're supposed to. So that's kind of a quick sort of where I got started from. But from there sort of ended up, we ended up moving to Brisbane, and at some point around there, being in the schoolyard, I had some friends that were also Commodore gamers and told me about the way to get around not having to have an action replay to cheat. Seemed simple enough. Mm-hmm. So they told me, just grab a paperclip, reach around to the cartridge port and just short out a couple of the pins, and that'll reset your 64.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Needless to say, know where that ended up. That ended up getting another one down the line. My parents managed to find a secondhand one floating around, so I sort of ended up getting that, but it was a bit dodgy. It was good sort of being up there. Still had a lot of friends that played 64, so guys come around playing International Karate, Gauntlet, all the usual stuff I think everyone sort of tended that had the 64 in that era grew up with. It was good. Had a bit of a temper on me, though, because I was a bit of an angry young boy, so I tended to destroy a lot of joysticks as well, which my parents weren't very happy about. Also had a bit of a rage quit problem, which thankfully hasn't translated into my Street Fighter V playing, but back then was a very grumpy little boy that would often sort of throw the joystick down and slam the C64 off in anger and storm out on my friends, which, needless to say, never went over well. But collecting-wise, skip forward a few years. I ended up with a NES at some point not long after the second 64 died, and then it was It was around when the Saturn era kicked off, or rather the Saturn era failed and people were getting rid of them, that I ended up with one, which was sort of my first system that I actually picked up, Sega Saturn. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed. So, you know, when you get a job and you've got lots of disposable income to hunt for NESs and other stuff like that, so I ended up going and dabbling in a lot of consoles for quite a few years. So I'd never really went back to sort of older micros and things for a fair while until... Actually, pretty much till we moved to Tassie. So, because I think, as I mentioned before, sort of for a small island, there is an awful lot of old systems and other things sort of in tip shops and other stuff down here that sort of seem to come up, pop up. So, yeah, I've sort of, since we've been down here six and a half years now, and I've sort of managed to sort of go from not a lot in the way of micros to sort of several 64s, my 128, an Amiga, which is the first Amiga I'd ever actually owned after a good mate of mine used to have one growing up. So it's sort of is a nice thing, and obviously getting as part of that as well, you know, sort of getting into the community down here. So I've got a couple of good mates that are big on the collecting side, including sort of good friend, and hi Damien if you're actually listening this week, he sort of is a good one that helps me out sort of with all, when I'm dabbling with repairs and other things like that. So but yeah, long story short though, it's a bit of a hobby on the side, and it sort of keeps me away from the expensive habit that is collecting Star Wars figures, because for some reason that's even more expensive than
any other hobby, you could say.
I spent far too much money when I was younger on the damn things, and while they're awesome and absolutely love the hell out of the movies, when you get to sit in the boxes, especially when you've got youngsters running around, I don't particularly want them anywhere near them. So at least with these though, I get to sort of share the love, you know, get them in playing Pitfall, or get them in playing River Raid, or other stuff on the 64s, or even digging out the XE and stuff from time to time. So, you know, it's good to sort of be able to share it on, and sort of let them, you know, let the kids sort of get a handle for what I used to enjoy. And in most cases, except for Centipede for some reason, which terrifies my 9-year-old.
Oh, really? Yeah,
don't know. She just won't have a bar of it. I think Adam Sandler has something to do with that, because Pixel or something, but yeah, it's just, she won't have a bar of it.
Oh, wow.
Adam Sandler. Damn you, Adam.
But yeah, no, I think Pixels has a lot to answer for, but I digress. So that's kind of my very abridged sort of story of where sort of I've gone from, and you know, in between there was a lot of PC gaming as well. So for a lot of years was definitely a very avid sort of DOS Windows person, and so that was kind of where a lot of my time was spent, but emulating the hell out of the 64 and stuff like that along the way though. So I still would always, you know, had a couple of DVDs floating around, or CDs as well, of just ROMs and various emulators to sort of just go back occasionally and fire up IK Plus, which, you know, sort of is one of those games that never gets old.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not. But,
yeah, and I mean, as I said, and obviously it ended up leading me to when I went to the first PAX and sort of meeting all you guys with the little stand you had in the big top, and, you know, sort of getting my hands on some of the older systems there that I'd never actually seen. So, you know, the XE Speccy, funnily enough, it's one of my wish list items that I still, for all things, I never seem to be able to find one. But
they're very, very expensive now, the dude. They're really expensive to get sent down here.
I was going to say, which one are you after? Because I might have a deal for you.
That's a conversation I would be keen to have. despite all my the tip shop stuff we find and things, but yeah, as always, there's lots of competition, and you know, I keep hearing of one of the other guys in the sort of the collecting community down here has sort of managed to acquire a couple for very little money, and sort of every time it's just sort of like, not again.
There's always bargains to be had, but unfortunately, when things become popular, it drives up prices, which is unfortunate. But it's it also means others are coming into the actual community, and hopefully goes bigger and better.
But I have found that games. Well, look, I know it's not vintage computer, and I shouldn't go off topic too much, but I've noticed Mega Drive games, Master System games, etc., have gone down in price on eBay.
Okay, that's interesting. I've always found Sega to be cheaper than Nintendo, obviously. But by far, the most expensive system to collect for is the Atari Jag.
Oh, really? I would think the Neo Geo.
Well, the Neo Geo goes without saying, but yeah, because if I say Neo Geo, people definitely go, yep, that's true. But Atari Jag, which people probably don't even give it a second thought, and they should, is that, yeah, it's just becoming, you'll have to sell your grandma and your left kidney for one, and the games as well. So.
Have they really gone up that much?
Yeah, they are, man. You won't be able to find a system for under a couple of $100, and that's US. And that's US. And if you want a CD, forget it.
You're dreaming.
Yeah, you're dreaming. And the games, forget it. I mean, yeah, games, especially the ones that are a little bit harder to get, you're paying $800 to $1,200. You know, so...
Do you know why they're worth more money now? You know why?
I know what you're going to say, so say it, Daz.
You know why? Because you can play SNES games on it now.
Now we're really digressing.
That's another conversation I might need to have later.
We'll wait till we're here.
Absolutely. But what actually intrigued me is for the last few weeks is I've been keeping a keen eye on Aaron's tweets and Facebook posts with all these little fix-up and tinkering jobs. And I was fascinated to see you got a Sega SC3000, dude. That just blew my mind because they're very, very hard to get. It is a 3000, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a 3000.
Yeah, I saw that and I went, wow, you got one. Fantastic. Was that a tip shop find as well? Or
no, actually, that one wasn't. Because, I mean, obviously on the side with the tip shop stuff, I will grab things to fix up, clean up, and sort of sell just locally to try and put money aside or swap in some cases. And, yeah, in this case, I had a 64 with a couple of games and an AV lead that I'd made up for it that was just, yeah, looking to sort of move on just to make some space. And a guy contacted me out of nowhere to say, look, I've got this Atari Vader, do you want it? Sort of, nah, I've got a few. And he went, oh, I've also got this Sega 8-bit thing. I don't know, it's a black Sega with rubber keys. And like, right, when am I coming up? So, yeah, needless to say, yeah, rocked up and yeah, handed out this little black beauty with its rubber keys and things like that. And you know, no cables or games or anything with it, but honestly, it was, yeah, well worth laying hands on. But yeah, eventually discovered that, you know, they don't have basics, so I couldn't test it. And it wasn't until I just, as a chance, went out to a garage sale on a Sunday morning out the other side of town and rocked up and talking to the young lass that was running it. And she was just like, oh, yeah, you know, I've there a few games here, but my dad's a bit of a collector. And who's this? Who's your dad? And he goes, oh, it's Tony. So Tony Cruz.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Wow.
Hey, what a small world.
So yeah, and then she's sort of gone, oh yeah, here he is now, and I was like, oh hey, and he ended up having a chat and went in and sort of checked out his collection of MSX Awesome and
that'd
everything.
That
would be crazy. And, oh yeah, it's a little impressive. Cool. To say the least.
I was about to say, I just got this fuzzy feeling down the back of my spine. That's awesome.
Fuzzy feeling? Yeah. Where?
Dude, down the spine. It was, you know, the fact that Aaron goes to a garage sale.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Tony Cruz's place. I mean, how that is cool, man. Yeah. That is damn cool.
But he ends up helping out. He had a whole bunch of SC3000 carts there, and got them home, and because it uses the Master System 2 supply, got it all hooked up, and nothing. Green screen, the low-pitched hum that they make when they don't have a cartridge inserted, and nothing. So, yeah, so sort of that's been an on-and-off project for the last couple of weeks. The cleaning the carts is the given, which unfortunately didn't do a lot. But, yeah, I've sort of been slowly learning about, voltages they run and how to what things to test, and sort of between a little bit of a chat with Tony, one of my other, said my friend Damien that lives around the corner, sort of sat down and run through and try and work out what's working, what's not, and yeah, come to a point where I thought we may have had a voltage problem, swapped out one of the parts, got all excited and nothing. So yeah, but no, look, it has been a good learning experience, sort of sitting down and sort of pulling it to bits and just feeling confident enough at least to poke around and sort of know roughly what I'm looking for, but yeah, I think next step actually is Tony had actually offered to come, you know, get me to come around at some point and bring it around and sort of just compare it against his SC3000 that's working and just sort of do a bit of, again, just a bit of comparison work to try and nail down exactly what's broken. So, but yeah, it's been good fun.
He's such a gentleman, Mr. Cruz. I tell you, good bloke, really good bloke. I have a lot of respect for that man. Hi, Tony.
Yeah. Hi, Tony.
So, Aaron, is there? I know the ZX. Is it the ZX Spectrum that you're after, or is there an actual different Spectrum that you're?
No, just the old ZX, the old black box, rubber keys.
Nice. So apart from that, dude, are there any other micros that you're got your eyes on or on your wish list?
Actually, to be honest, I've actually got the bulk of the stuff I've always wanted covered. The MSX is definitely on the agenda, and it's a conversation, funnily enough, I've also had with Tony. Was definitely to look at, because it's an interesting system, although my friend Damien's probably a much larger advocate and fan of the MSX than what I am, so he's definitely be getting first grabs if one happens to come up. But look, yeah, between the ZX and the MSX, it'd probably be about it for me.
You've broken my heart. Broken my heart, man. I thought I was going to say the ST, but no love for the Atari ST. And Daz, don't say a word, all right?
What?
Look at you. I can tell you're smiling. I can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
You rad bastard. The ST, Aaron, the ST.
I have to say, they make good door stoppers.
I was about to swear, Daz. Don't make me swear, please.
We're like children.
We are.
Although on that topic, though, I do have my 6128, my Amstrad sitting here. That's my next project. Okay. I don't know how much you love them as well, Alex.
I can't.
It's more me.
I can't believe you actually brought that up now. That's perfect timing. The Amstrad 6128. Now, Daz, did you actually want one of those? Or
I really want one of those. I can't. Look, I mean, there is a guy that I know that's selling one locally, but it's just too much money. He wants like $280 with the monitor. I can't justify that.
I was going to say that's a reasonable price, man.
You think so?
For a 6128, yeah. Well, you're not going to
color monitor, color.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't mention my one cost me $35.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, I end up getting one given to me as a gift, but the guy bought it for $20. But that's the 464.
But Daz, it sounds like we need to go to Tassie because it's abundant with micros, and I've heard actually the same stories from others that I work with that used to live in Tassie, and I thought they were talking shit, but they're not.
You know what, dude? I'm gonna come over. We're gonna drive down to Altona Beach. We get on our, our bathers on, and let's go for a swim. What do you reckon?
Yeah. We'll probably get to about Rye, and I don't know, get eaten up by a shark or something. So at least we'll make the news.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
No, we shouldn't joke about that sort of stuff. So no, I'm sorry if anyone's been hurt by a shark.
What the hell?
I don't know, man. You don't know who's going to listen to this and go, why are you making jokes about being eaten by sharks? So we are going way off tangent. I want to go back to something that Aaron touched on when he was a youngster. He would rage and smash joysticks. Speaking of joysticks, which ones were they and what are your favorites?
So joysticks. So the early ones I smashed was, the good old just straight up Commodore, the brown, brown and white ones that just, I think were, I don't know if they were the cheapest materials available, but yeah, they're terrible. They are not nice sticks to use, and yeah, I would kill them on a regular basis. But my favorite as a kid was my Epics, the Quickshot, the little black, I've gone blank.
Oh, the handheld one?
The little handheld one.
The Speed King. The Konix, did license it from Konix, but yeah, it was a Konix Speed King. And then Epix released the SJ5000, which is the Speed King. Yeah.
Okay, yep, yeah, the little black and red handheld one with the buttons on around the corner at the side of it.
That's the one.
It was a good stick, and I remember it was probably the one that lasted me the longest. But they were... Although nowadays my stick of choice is my Competition Pro, so I do like my mechanical switches and that satisfying sort of the click of it all. But in the absence of finding a what are they called?
But have you tried Attack 2?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Yeah, Attack 2's, Wiko's aren't too bad either. I've got a few comp pros, but I'm just not a fan. They're too tight, and I don't know. The tactile feel doesn't feel right for me, especially playing games like IK Plus, where I want to feel, you know, when you're kicking, when you're headbutting, and yeah, and when you do the splits and kick both in the head, I love that. I can only do that with Attack 2.
There you go. Yeah, no, Star Cursor is obviously the other wish list item, but
yeah.
Well, you saw that horrible abomination of an arcade machine that one of the tip shops here has. They've got the bigger Star Cursor mounted on, and have had their had mounted on there for quite a while. But just breaks my heart every time I go in there because I want it. Horrible MAME thing.
Ugh. Damn. Speaking of games, I know you actually said IK and Impossible Mission, but do you actually have absolute favourites that stand out in your mind from back in the day, back in the 80s?
Batman the movie, I think you guys touched on back in episode one in detail, I think, from memory. It was a Christmas or birthday present, I don't know, what someone bought it to me in a sack, and it was glorious and all kinds of amazing. That running around with Batman, platforming and stuff, that was definitely a massive favourite of mine that never knew what happened to it, and was heartbroken when the day I couldn't find the disc. But beyond that, though, Sacred Armor of Antiriad is another massive favourite. Probably one of my top three C64 games, and is definitely in my top 10 of all-time favourites. Just, again, it was one of those things when you're playing it back sort of, yeah, that late 80s, where there wasn't a lot of stuff like it, with the running around, the platforming, and finding things, and... You know, it wasn't until a lot of years later that when I first played Metroid, and it never really dawned on me the similarities between the two. But yeah, it was an exceptionally good game for its time. PC-wise, though, I'm going to bring it up because X-Wing and TIE Fighter were both, because they're this stage, they're both 20-plus years old, so it's, I think, technically retro.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And yeah. But yeah, so while they were both DOS games, but yeah, again... Being a big Star Wars fan growing up there, being able to jump in and fly around as an X-Wing and, you know, shoot up Star Destroyers or do the reverse and jump in TIE Fighters and fly around taking out the Rebellion was, you know, there was nothing like it at the time. And to be honest, that they've not really done a lot in that vein since, so which is a shame. And the other one is, the other DOS game that I know is System Shock, which I don't know if either of you guys ever sort of played that or System Shock 2?
I've never played them, but I've heard they are unbelievable.
It was amazing for an early first-person shooter. Yeah, the graphics was amazing for its time. Doesn't really hold up today. Like, the original System Shock is incredibly janky to play. It doesn't age well, but for what it is and what it did at the time, you know, it was just atmospheric, and it just running around, being able to hack stuff and weapons and inventory things. Like, it was a, you know, for me, it was the first game I ever actually bought from a PC, which at $100 back in the mid 90s.
Wow.
Showed stuff has not changed much since.
Wow, that's crazy. $100.
That is crazy money.
It was 2 months of refereeing basketball to pay for that. Every cent.
Now, speaking of, obviously you're a huge Star Wars fan, and I know I'm going to diverge now to the arcade scene, but did you actually ever play the arcade, the Atari Star Wars game?
I've played it at Game On when that was here. It was actually the year I moved to Tassie, when Launceston hosted the Game On 2.0, so they actually had the upright version of it here, but... yes, I have, and yeah, it was very cool, and was also one of my favourite 64 games back in the day as well, because yeah, it was not a lot else Star Wars wise around that point, so
it's really good on the Amiga. I personally found the Amiga version to be close to the arcade as possible, I think.
I haven't actually played it. I played both the 64 versions, and the second, the more sprite based one, I know was. Tends to be a lot more playable, but I've never touched on the Amiga one.
Well, I've always got it on at PAX, so look out for it this year then, because it just plays perfectly with the mouse. It's really good.
No, we might not get any work done then.
Des. It's funny enough, I always jump on it when we had a bit of spare time.
How come I've never actually noticed this?
Because you don't pay attention to what we do, man. You just,
it
hurts. It hurts my feelings.
Oh, Des. All right, so you're saying that I'm not observant. I don't pull my weight. What are you trying to say?
I didn't say that. Kerith is fantastic, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell her. I'll tell her that she can go and she can represent on herself. Retro gamer. Yeah. I'll just kick back and play pinball or Donkey Kong. I don't know.
I love you. Nah, Alex, you know.
Yeah, I love you too, man. Sorry, man. We're going.
Yeah,
off topic.
We're going off again.
Yeah, I'm very, very intrigued to actually know because the games that that you've talked about, Aaron, is there an actual particular genre that is always your number one? Or you always go to gaming genre?
To be honest, I don't really. Platformers are always definitely a big one. Fighting games, as Daz already knows, I think my Street Fighters are a big, big part of what I love playing the most. I've always found I never really tie myself down to one genre too much. Strategy, RPG stuff, I love the concept of, but I never really find myself spending lots of time playing them. Platformers, Interiad, Ghosts and Goblins, even the original C64 version, although the recent arcade re-release of it is on the 64 is amazing.
It is, mm-hmm. It is. Now, I'm gonna have to borrow the ladder that Daz is going to have at PAX and give you a big hug, man. I love platformers and all those games you've just, they are just brilliant. So I'm glad that you're not into RPGs, or maybe you haven't got the time to grind away, but... As everyone knows, I'm not a RPG or adventure game player at all. I don't have the patience for it. Give me an arcade or arcade style game any day.
Well, yeah, sorry, go for it.
Anyway, I was going to say, no, look, in the heart of the better. Ghosts and Goblins does my head in, but even PSP wise, the Prinny games that are based on the Disgaea RPG series. They're two of my favourite sort of newer platformers that are very much Ghost and Goblin style and that punishing, horrible, make one mistake and you're dead stuff. So it's, they're fun, although on PSP it's dangerous because the tendency to throw it after you fail a jump.
I was about to ask, do you still rage quit?
No, absolutely not.
Containing yourself. I like it. How about if no one was home and the kids were away and you were all alone at home, would you rage quit?
I don't know if rage quit's the right word, but colourful language is definitely on the agenda.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to actually release that, so I'm glad to hear it.
just not when the little ones are around because...
Of course.
Even sort of uttering a bitch under my breath is sort of like, Daddy, that's a B word, don't say that.
Keeping you in check, I love it. Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, nice.
Now, Daz, yes. I know I'm going to go off topic one more time and I promise then I'll stop. I know you're into your pinball as well, Aaron, and you did actually have a crack at the pinball tournament at PAX 2015, and you actually did quite well on the Game of Thrones machine, if my memory serves me right. I don't know. Have you always been keen on pinball, or is it one of those things that you were and then you forgot all about it for a long, long time and come back to it again?
I have always been. Arcades and pinnies have definitely been a big staple in my life because Brisbane, fun enough, has been a massive thread on Aussie Arcade about a couple of the old arcades in Brisbane that's sort of bringing back a lot of memories of just how vibrant the scene was up there back then. But now there was always a couple of pennies sort of near where I lived that the local 7-Eleven and Video Easy or Rainbow Video back then had, would routinely sort of cycle through quite a few machines. So, got my hands on like the old Data East Star Wars machine and Getaway, things like, what's his name, Party Zone, Twilight Zone and all sort of the ones like that. So, was never great at them, but always just enjoyed them like mad. And unfortunately, though, they're a little bit too expensive to lay hands on.
They are. They are brilliant. But you're being modest because, as I said, you did quite well at the pinball tournament. So well done, man. Now, I don't know, did you get your name on the IFPA rankings?
I did, yeah. It was. I think the placing it put me at is less than my ranking in Street Fighter V, which is to say it's not quite six digits, but yeah, it was still a fair, but yeah, it's still nice to see.
No, absolutely, man. Absolutely good on you.
I mean, getting to watch some actual genuine pinball wizards at work was something else as well. Although you do get a little bit daunting when the first person you come up against in the eliminations round has a custom-made pinball wizard jacket. So that was definitely an oh crap moment.
Yeah, but you did actually get eliminated by the person that actually won, so you should feel quite proud about that. So that was Wild Dickie that won that. So well done to you, Aaron. Good stuff, man. Daz, sorry, I'll stop now.
Your turn. That's okay. My turn. Well, I'm pretty cool with what you've asked here, man. I mean,
Actually,
I do have another question.
No, time up. I'm joking, guys.
I'm out of here.
Sorry, Daz.
I was going to say, so what computers do you actually have set up for you to play at home? Like, do you have any that's just permanently there, ready?
PC not counting? I don't actually, because at the moment, the place we're in, I'm limited to a small rectangular room that has basically a big enough desk that you probably see some of the photos. Like, it's my doubles as my workbench and my gaming bench. So, but now look, the C64 is pretty much always permanently either on the desk or is packed away, but in easy reach. So, and especially seeing as I got a SD2 IEC recently, so that sort of has really encouraged me to keep it out and sort of just getting to play Ghosts and Goblins and Abyss and Nauts and stuff like that that I've often seen played in the emulators, but there's something about being on the actual hardware. So, but that, and also my PC Engine is never far away.
Nice one.
We have to give Aaron a lot of hugs, man, at PAX, hopefully if you can come earlier, but yeah, man. And I did hear Abyssal Nort in there as well. So, Ann Stiller, if you're listening, thumbs up, man.
Yeah, no, it is. But, it's another thing. They're the ones, I mean, but then I'll often have, sort of got stuff stored away pretty well. So it sort of normally will cycle through. But I don't know. I actually tend to spend more time these days just with my head stuck in stuff, just learning, because I'm not really electronically inclined in any capacity. In fact, my friend Damien often laughs at some of my efforts to make things or put things together. But it's a learning experience. And so far, I've only killed one Super Nintendo, so I'm going to count that as an accomplishment.
Absolutely. And you did manage to short-circuit your Commodore 64 back in the day.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Which you won't do ever again, I suspect.
No. I have action replays for that now, so...
Good to hear.
All right, cool bananas.
So, Daz, yeah.
Well, look,
what do we usually do at this point in time of the podcast?
Well, I'm actually going to just sidetrack a little bit, only because I'm excited about it, right? Seeing that we're already on the 64 topic, I posted a link today on the Press Play and Tape podcast, which I will go to now. On the actual Facebook page.
Are you doing this live?
Yes, I'm doing it live. Wow. Exclusive. It's an exclusive. Now,
anything can happen now.
Well, look, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this new game that's coming out by Knights of Bytes. It's a game called Sam's Journey. Have you checked it out?
I know I'm sounding vague, but someone did tell me to check this out. It might have been you, Daz.
It could have been me. But this is besides Street Fighter V. Now that's past. This is my biggest, most anticipated game of 2016. Wow. This game looks amazing. I thought Creatures 2 and Mayhem in Monsterland looked amazing. This game looks like a 16-bit game. Personally, it looks amazing. It's a platform game.
You're getting me excited, Daz.
Dude, it looks so good. It reminds me a little bit of Mario 3 as well. You can change you can change like in different outfits and they do different abilities and stuff. So look, I don't know how the hell they've crammed everything onto the C64. I know there's going to be a cartridge version released and a disc version, so I'm gonna get my ass onto a freaking cartridge version, because I'm jumping on it. This looks so good. Fantastic. Sam's Journey, people. If you haven't heard of it, go check it out now. Do it now.
Wow. Thanks, Daz. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, look, and this wasn't in, you know, paid or endorsed to do any of this. This is just something because I just think it's amazing.
Yeah. So, no, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
We allowed our special guest, Aaron, to choose the publisher for this episode.
Yep.
And drum roll, please.
Ching!
It's Palace Software. I was going to actually put Aaron on the spot and go, dude, give us a bio background on Palace, but I don't know. Have you got it, Aaron, or you haven't?
Yeah, no, I do. So there are...
Oh, go for it, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So they're like all good software companies on the Commodore 64 are from London or England. So they started up around the early 80s and were originally bought out games like The Evil Dead, which was, I think, was based on the Evil Dead movie. And then they went on to make Cauldron 2, funnily enough, Shoot 'Em Up, Construction Kit, and a lot of other the popular ones there. But never really had much of a big back catalogue, but there's a lot of very popular things in there. So, and then they eventually went on to be bought out by Titus in 1991, who then went on to close them out. So, yeah, short but very, very sweet back catalogue of some stuff that gets bought up quite often by a lot of C64 fans as being some of their favourite games. So,
this is a shame there weren't that many games.
Well, if you just look at Wiki, you're right. It doesn't actually give you much, but they did, if you actually include the post when they got actually bought out, so in the early 90s, you know, like Titus the Fox, Swap, Boston Bomb Club, Metal Mutant, Sliders, International 3D Tennis, Shoot 'Em Up Construction Kit, there was, they actually did do quite a few. Now, I'm not sure if they did publish those themselves or got someone else to do it, but they were definitely the developers. So,
okay.
But yeah, man, obviously when we go through our list, we all know what particular games are going to come up over and over again, but that's fine. It just proves that how good these games are, because people could have said, nah, I don't like any of the Palace Software games, but...
Not answered. Yeah.
We've got quite a few people on Twitter, and I know we had one nice long response from Chris on Facebook. I haven't actually checked it if there was more than that, but sorry, Aaron, you can proceed, mate. Tell us what your favourite Palace Software games were.
So look, I mean, I've already touched on it once, but I mean, look, my number one with a bullet for them is still always Enteriad. It stuck with me back then, of just this game that came out of nowhere and was like nothing I'd ever played before. And yeah, the whole concept of the Metroidvania style explore, find stuff to progress further was not something that had been seen to that point. So still to this day something I'll dig out any time I get the opportunity. But yeah, also didn't know that it came out a month after Metroid in Japan. So it was something that I had only just found out recently, which is kind of embarrassing. But beyond that though, Barbarian is another one that definitely gets brought up a lot, and that is the first one. It was that, I think what started me on some of the fighting game side of things was just that, you know, that the head whopping and the little lizard coming and laughing at you and just playing it against friends definitely incited more than a few rage moments. So that's definitely another one. And for me as well was Cauldron 2. It's probably, if I'm going to go with 3, that it was, while Cauldron was a fun game and definitely had a lot of, again, different platforming elements to it, Cauldron 2, just with the whole balancing mechanic that, you know, Whizball did, but this was different because you're trying to get around the castle and trying to time the bounces to get from platform to platform and shoot stuff and find things. And yeah, it was, again, a very unique game and one that I used to spend a lot of time with.
Hard as nails.
no two ways about it.
So, okay, cool. So that's it, I would assume?
Yep, no, that's me. That's cool. Three for me.
I'll probably end up picking the same. I mean, to me, it's Barbarian. I've just got too many memories with that game. Bloody love it. Sacred Armor of I can't even pronounce it.
Antiriad.
I even said it wrong in the RD podcast.
For effing sake, dude.
I know, yeah.
And Bethsaida. It's Bethsaida, yes.
Oh, man. All right, look, I'm going to go in the sea and get eaten by a shark then. Bugger it. But I did play Cauldron 1 a lot as a kid. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I enjoyed it. I actually really enjoyed it. It used to just kind of scare me when she'd laugh. It sounded more like a fart coming out of her mouth, but I knew it was like a laugh, but it used to freak me out a little bit. But they're my three anyway.
Nice, man. Look, Barbarian, both The Ultimate Warrior and Dungeons of Drax. Now, I don't know, did they actually publish Dungeons of Drax or not? I can't remember if it was them or...
them.
Yeah, it was them. They didn't actually give it to Epics or something. I know it was called Death Sword in the US. So if anyone in the US is going, what the hell is this Barbarian? It was Death Sword. But Maria Whittaker on that box. I mean, look, we all pirated games, but that was probably one game that I wanted to buy because you have a free poster inside of Page 3 Girl Maria Whittaker. And I can't remember the dude, but I think he was on their version of Gladiators.
Really?
Yeah. Don't know what his name is. It's not important, but but Maria, definitely. I don't know if you remember Sam Fox, she was a pastry girl, and Maria was another one, and they were quite popular back in the 80s. But yeah, man, Barbarian, doing the spin and chopping the head off, and you know, the your opponent just drops to their knees, and then the little goblin or ghoul, whatever it is, just coming across, picking up and having a bit of a laugh. But I actually enjoyed it both on the 64 and on the ST. Oh, I don't recall playing it on the Amiga, but love those two games, man. Look, I'm going to keep it to two because the other games I have not played, so I'm not going to lie and go, yeah, I haven't. So Barbarian 1 and 2 are for me up the top, and they are still probably my all-time top 10 games on the 64. Oh. So there we have it. It's a good old Palace software.
Palace. Oh, you made it sound so 80s, like Palace.
Yeah. but you need the echo.
Yeah. Palace.
So, Daz.
Okay.
Going to the wall, my friend. Going to the Facebook wall. Please tell me we've got more than one response.
We only have one. Farchbook has let us down.
Come on, guys. Yeah. Come on. Oh, that's all right.
It's unfortunate. I mean, look, it's not our fault, either of us. I mean, we should have did it a bit earlier because I know it would have got the attention of our UK audience. So
yeah, they were asleep. You're right. And when I'm giving shit to Facebook, sorry, I don't mean it to the people that actually come to the page. I'm just having a crack and a laugh. Sorry, because Daz is a big Facebook fan and I'm a Twitter fan, and we have these little
fights.
Yeah,
little punch-ons, mate.
Punch-ons, man. Double dragon style. Crates, whips, baseball bats. No, go for it, Daz. Sorry, man.
The big knee to the sack.
Well, yes. Billy Lee were really good at that.
Okay, Qual, we have Chris Van Grass. Number one is Cosmic Pirate. Awesome arcadey space combat trading game. Number two, Sacred Armor of...
Anterior.
Thank you, Aaron. I feel like this has happened before. A decent platformer and cool suit upgrade mechanic. Number three is Barbarian. Lopping off the heads of Arnie clones never got boring. That's very true. Also, honorable shout out for Cauldron 1 and 2. They may have been unfair and bloody hard. Yes, that's true. But they looked and good. They looked so good, and I spent many hours playing both as a kid. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your answer. We appreciate your answer.
Absolutely. And that just gives me an idea for a future getting to know you, Daz. Maybe we can get Chris on here.
Mate, whatever, mate. Let's do this.
Yeah. So Aaron has set the bar quite high. There we go.
Okay. Twitter time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, party time.
Stop Twitter time.
That's it. Oh, you're good, Dad.
You like
good.
That?
Absolutely. Yeah, that should be a grab that we need to use over and over again.
Okay.
All right. We'll start with Rob Caporetto. Actually, not too tricky. My picks are Rimrunner, Sacred Armor of Antiriad, and Barbarian 1, all on the Commodore 64.
Boom.
Well done, Rob. Rimrunner.
Good game.
You guys played that? It is? Ooh.
Yeah, it's difficult. Geez. Nice parallax scrolling, if I remember correctly.
Parallax. Yeah. Now, there's a game I haven't played in a long time. Okay. Your namesake, Stacey Borg, Dr. Curly Tech. Doc, he's got Cauldron, one of my first personal C64 purchases.
Mm.
There we go. Barbarian, everyone loves a decapitation, yes. And Sacred Armor of Interior. Man, what's his Sacred Armor of Interior? Is it that good, really?
Dude, it's brilliant. Brilliant.
Far out. Dude, and
you've never played it.
And I call myself a retro gamer.
You're unreal.
You know what? If I play it and go, oh, this game, but seriously, it does not ring a bell. And I'm embarrassed to admit it, but at least I'll be honest, no.
Do you maybe know it by its abomination of a US title?
Rad Warrior.
Oh.
Because it's equally as awful US cover art.
That's like Death Sword. It was atrocious. Mm. Have a look at the actual Barbarian Death Sword in the US. It's atrocious.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll have to look at that. Yeah.
So I need to play Sacred Armor of Tyriad. Full stop. Okay, Sayrak. There we go. I pronounced it right, I hope. Shoot 'em up construction kit. Death Sword. Oh, yeah. Death Sword Barbarian. Can't recall any others. Wow. There you go. Kiwi Red. One of these alts from New Zealand. From my Amstrad, it's a toss-up between Cauldron 2 and Barbarian for first, with Sacred Armor Interior back in third. Well, there we go. So Barbarian and Sacred Armor Interior are getting all the hits now. Mark Bell, yeah, he called it. He said, I think you're going to get a lot of the same replies on this one. Clear favorites are Cauldron 2, Barbarian, and Shoot 'em Up Construction Kit. Cameron Davis, Gazunta, hey, from Bris Vegas. You can't go past the Shoot 'em Up Construction Kit, the first step for so many budding game developers. Hundreds of great games came from it. And there we go. So no mention of Sacred Armor Interior or Barbarian in that one.
Well, that'd Freak. Be fair. Cameron actually did do a really cool hand-drawn sketch in one of his comics of Tau and Samus Aran pulling each other, so which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's good, and I love his humor. His sense of humor is the best. Freaking Frankie, hey man, how much did we have to convince him today, Daz, to get on and actually participate?
I know, it's disgusting. We shouldn't have to pester him.
You should be begging us, mate, not the other way around. No, I'm kidding. Okay, Freaking Frankie says, and my favorites are dun, 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 Barbarian, a chopping heads one, not the side scroller. The side scroller?
Yeah, part two. Part two.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, come on.
Come on, mate. Far out.
I know. I'm thinking, is he talking about another game? Anyway. Oh, man, I'm going.
Aaron, do you want to join the team? I need someone new.
God damn, man. Cauldron and Cauldron 2. Yeah, I know. I'm a shocker tonight. Last but not least, we've got Anthony Stiller, Ann Stiller, another Bris Vegas native. Barbarian for decapitations. Shoot 'em up construction kit for being a breakthrough game dev product. And Stifflip and Co. for being so very British. What?
Yeah.
Huh? Stifflip?
Stifflip and Co. We'll read the blurb. Disaster looms for the Bowler and Broly Brigade. The contemptible Count Chameleon, master of disguise and sworn enemy of the establishment, is determined to succeed in his latest and greatest dastardly plot. Yes, very British.
Ant, you legend, mate. I love the ones from left field. And then he says, fourth place to Cauldron. It's a beautiful but bastard hard.
Yes.
And on that note, that completes our audience's participation on our publisher of choice, their top favourite games for Palace Software.
Wow, are we going to run out of publishers soon or what?
Dude, no, I don't think so. There's no. No, I was looking at the list. I thought, yeah, there's quite a few others. Don't worry, we'll think of something else when we do hit that point at some point in the near future.
Okay.
Or long-term future. unless you decide you're Hollywood and you want to upscale and, you know, trade me in for someone else. And
no, I wouldn't do that.
And then it'll be insert disc, yeah?
Nice, I like that.
I'm just giving you an idea. I'm out of a job.
That's really good. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. Press play on tape, yeah. We've gone from 8-bit to 16-bit insert disc. Yeah. Or insert disc 1, insert disc 2.
Yeah, that's actually a good one.
Oh, yeah. You like it? Oh, yeah. I better copyright that and trademark it because, yeah, no one can take it.
Welcome to insert disc 1, ST not allowed.
F off, Daz. F off.
That's nasty, Alex.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But you know what's more nasty? It's the end of the show.
It is. Yeah, it is. And I was looking at the time thinking, oh, man, no, really? Yeah. It's always at that time when you're just feeling down. But, man, it was awesome to have this new segment and to have Aaron on the show. It was great to have you on, Aaron, and hope you enjoyed yourself, dude.
Yeah, nice, guys. Thanks for the invite. And all as daunting as it is to sit here and have to listen to myself talk later on when you actually release it. But no, it's good. Always enjoy the chance to sit and chat about all things old and retro. So, no, appreciate it.
Cool.
Fantastic. That's what we like to hear, man. That's what we like to hear. And, yeah, and we love, obviously, seeing all your stuff on social media, on Twitter and Facebook. And, yeah, just for anyone else that doesn't know, it's at the Blah Jedi on Twitter. And, well, Facebook, you've got to be friends, so...
Facebook's more personal.
If Aaron likes it, he'll friend you otherwise. No, I'm kidding. No, it's all good. Actually, are you on anything else, Aaron?
I'm at Bludget on Instagram. I tend to sort of mostly be stuff pop up on there, and I definitely don't take photos of myself because, yeah, no.
I'm like that too. Don't worry about that.
Yes, I just take photos of my hands.
Yeah, I love seeing your hands, Alex. Always.
Yes. Now, remember George Costanza? Remember when he's a hand model? Jeez, we're going off on tangent again. Seriously, it's that sad time when we must say our goodbyes. And really quickly, Aaron, any shout-outs, dude?
Oh, guys, I mean, look, both of yourselves for the invite and everything you guys do with the community, and because there isn't a community without people like yourselves driving it, so that's always. Another thing I mentioned, my friend Damien before, who's probably one of my drives me that helps me out when I screw up stuff. So he's always been a big hand every time something goes wrong. So yeah, so that's me.
Fantastic, man. Now, is Damien actually on any social media, or he's too shy?
He's a Facebook person. He's not a Twitter person.
Smart man.
And I've been trying to convince him that. Needs to come and have a chat to you guys about all things Amiga or stuff, if that ever comes up.
Tell him he's missing out big time, man. Damn.
We're working on it. And he loves his ST as well, so you'd probably get along well with him.
Damien, okay. Get on Twitter, man.
Goodbye, everyone. Have a good night. Okay. Do you have any quick shout-outs, Mr. Alex?
Oh, yourself, Daz.
Oh, thank
Aaron.
You.
Thank you very much, guys. Always awesome to hop on a podcast and have a chat, and time just flies. And everyone that's listening to this, thank you. Thumbs up to you guys. Yeah, man, thank you very much for tuning in. And my beautiful wife, she's the best. And did I say Daz? Yes, of course I did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, nah. Love yous all.
Okay. Nah, that was very nice, Alex. Myself, a quick shout out to yourself, obviously, Alex. Aaron, thank you for jumping on as well. The boys at RD, you can also check out our podcast, AsiaDomination.com. So I have to do a bit of the plugging, of course.
Of course.
Of course. The Geek Crew, Mark and Tim at +3 to Geekdom. You can check them out on Facebook as well, on Podbean. And for current gen gaming, go to ConsoleBondNation.com. You can check them out on Facebook as well, Instagram, they're everywhere as well. And of course, you've got us. You can check us out on iTunes, Podbean, and Facebook. And you can also get Alex Oz Retro Gamer.
Thanks, Daz. Well,
everywhere. You're, and, yes.
You're the best, man.
I try. But yes, just actually, a last shout out. I actually gave this shout out on the Retro Domination podcast as well. But to David and Michael from the Atari Zegs Cut by Cut podcast that I found the last couple of weeks, just because of Aaron, because I received that Atari, I thought, oh, let me see if there's any Atari groups out there, and I bumped into this new podcast, and it looks like they're based in the States and in Canada, and they are fantastic. Everyone, I highly recommend you check out their podcast. It's highly entertaining. It just feels like a bunch of guys having a chat, kicking back, having a laugh, but it's also very informative. It's fun. And yeah, I think they're releasing episode 2 soon. So yeah, shout out to those guys, especially David, actually, because he's helped me out a lot. Had a good chat with him probably the other day for a good hour or so, just about the Atari Zegs, and helping me out on some configurations on carts and what cart I should get, etc. So thank you, David.
Fantastic, Dan. Yeah. Actually, it will. I actually just remembered now. I've got to say thank you to Aaron for Burger Time for the Intellivision, man. You rock. Thank you very, very much. That was just by, once again, Aaron being observant on Twitter, I think he was, that, yeah, I said that I didn't have Burger Time and I'd love to play it. It's absolutely brilliant. I know it's not a computer game, it's a console, but a brilliant game on the Intellivision, man. So thank you very, very much, dude. And when you come down here, you're coming over and playing it. So can't wait for that.
Done deal.
Beautiful.
Do you know what? Coincidentally, you know that was the first Intellivision game I ever played when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. It is a brilliant port, man. And seriously, I don't put any other cart. It's actually permanently in the Intellivision.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It is. Master of Universe comes a close second. It's the best. Burger Time is just the best. So, on that note, Daz.
Adios, amigos, and thank you very much for joining us.
Woohoo! Bye, guys.
Okay, ciao.
Thank you.